Rob McLaughlin on City Talk 105.9.
Now, among the gloom and doom and bad news around, do we have anything to celebrate? Well, our Paralympic athletes have just returned from Beijing with a total of 42 gold medals and 102 in total, placing them second in the league table, following on, of course, from the success of Team GB in the Olympics. And just last week, interestingly, World Council announced that Liverpool's status as capital of culture, and in particular the tall ships race, had a major impact in the borough, attracting more than 32,000 people to watch the parade and injected some £1.5 million into the local economy. So should we be celebrating? Has Capital of Culture been the spectacle that everyone expected? And will the Olympic Games in London, well, will they mean anything to us here in the north of England? Well, I'm delighted to say joining me live on the line is a woman who should have the answer to some of those questions, who has just hopped back into the country from Beijing. It is the Olympic Minister of the UK, Tessa Zhao. Tessa, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on the programme.
Now tell me about Beijing, first of all, and the Paralympics. A tremendous success.
Well, both the Olympics and the Paralympics were just were extraordinary. And as you say, I've just come back from the Paralympics. I was at the magnificent closing ceremony on the 17th, last Wednesday night. I flew back on the plane with most of our Paralympic athletes. They all got a wonderful welcome when they got back to Heathrow before they took their flights all over the country. They were welcomed by the Prime Minister, by the Chief Executive of British Airways, and it was just a very happy homecoming. And I think that we've seen something quite extraordinary happen with elite sport and the performance of our elite athletes over the Olympics and the Paralympics. And, you know, there are now very clearly sports where we dominate the world. You know, I mean, we won 17 gold Paralympic medals in cycling alone, quite apart from the gold medals that we won. And one of the main reasons that our cyclists are doing so well is that, as you'll know, I mean, most of them now live in and around Manchester because they have the use there of the velodrome, which is part of the legacy of the Commonwealth Games back in 2002.
Well, absolutely, because in a funny sort of way, sport has been used, of course, to be a regenerator of cities. You mentioned Manchester, you mentioned the Commonwealth Games. I suppose, Tessa, given the amount of money that is going to be spent on the London 2012 Games, the question is, I mean, it's £9.3 billion. Is any of that benefit going to come outside of the immediate area?
Oh, it certainly will. And I mean, I go on about this all the time, the importance of seeing 2012 as the UK's Games in London. And yes, they will have an amazing regenerative effect on the East End of London, regenerating the East End of London, which is was a contaminated wasteland in one of the poorest parts of the whole country, much more quickly than would otherwise have been the case.
But isn't it going to suck so much money into that area, Tessa, that we're going to see disadvantages in terms of lottery funding in other parts of the UK?
No. If we did nothing and simply, you know, allowed the market to have its way, yes, London would benefit quite disproportionately to the rest of the country. But we're taking very specific steps to make sure that the benefits are spread right around the country.
Such as what?
Such as 75,000 contracts to be let between the organising committee and the delivery authorities that are building the venues. Those contracts are being advertised right round the UK. And so far, the last figures I saw, 54% had come to London. The rest had gone around the UK. And we launched, actually, what's called the electronic network that informs businesses of all sizes of these contracts actually in Manchester. And, you know, I've got in front of me the list of pre-training camp venues in the Northwest. So these are world-class facilities that have got a very good chance of hosting the visiting National Olympic teams.
And will that be audited? Will there be figures at the end of the day that we'll be able to look back at and say, yes, this is how the money was spent and these were the benefits to other parts of the UK?
Yes, you will. 73 Olympic and Paralympic training camps in the Northwest. But over 1,000 businesses in the Northwest have registered on this Compete for Business network. And money has gone from the Legacy Trust into a program of play in the Northwest, focused very particularly on the Cultural Olympiad. And of course, you know that Old Trafford will be one of the 2012 venues for the football competition.
Now, so I know, Tessa,
we are working very hard to make sure that in 2013, people will look back on the 2012 Olympics and feel they were our games too.
Now, I know you've got to catch a train. You're in London at the moment. You've got to catch a train and come up to the Northwest at the Labour Party Conference. But let me try and grab you very, very quickly on a couple of other points. Staying with the Olympic Games for a moment, the new mayor of London, of course, the Conservative mayor, has said that he would like that £9.3 billion figure to be lower. Do you expect the London Games to be on a much, much more modest scale than we saw in Beijing? Because we don't know how much the Chinese spent, do we?
No, well, the public figure is about $44 billion, but that includes what they spent on building a new terminal at the airport, reconstructing a lot of the urban road network and the underground. So rather like our figure, I mean, our figure of $9.325 billion includes also 75p in every pound on regeneration of this contaminated, often waterlogged site. You'd have to spend that money on this land before you did anything with it at all, whether it was for the Olympics, housing, commercial development, or anything else. So there's a big chunk of regeneration money in that $9.325 billion. No, I don't believe that it would be right to revise down the figure of $9.325 billion because it includes a very substantial cushion for contingency, $2 billion for contingency.
So you're at odds there with what Boris Johnson is saying?
No, I'm not. No, absolutely not. I am not at odds. Where I am absolutely at one with him, and indeed the whole Olympic team has been, you know, Ken Livingstone before him, have been focused on this, is driving down costs. Because on a project of this scale, what we can say now is that the cost of developing the Olympic Park, $6.1 billion plus $2 billion contingency, is the same now as it was when I announced the revised budget back in March 2007. However, within that headline figure, obviously some prices have risen, others have fallen. You would expect that. But our contractors have taken the precautionary measure of pre-buying steel, pre-buying concrete. They have highly cost-effective ways of distributing materials on site, all with the aim of making sure that that the overall figure comes in below that $9.325 billion.
Now, very quickly, you were, of course, you're now Minister for the Olympics. You were Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport when the announcement about Capital of Culture was made. It was you who made the announcement that it was going to be Liverpool.
Indeed.
Was it the right choice?
Oh, I think it was undoubtedly the right choice. And I think in the early days, there were some, you know, there were some bumpy times for
typically
Liverpool.
Scouse fallout, Phil Redmond called it.
What's that?
Maybe Scouse the fallout.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I mean, I think that if you look at the success of Capital of Culture, you know, the opening events were witnessed by 300 million people worldwide. You know, all the venues, I think all the cultural venues in Liverpool have seen an increase in their attendances. 24% of all visitors to Merseyside January to April this year were new to the city. You know, 10,000 people visited the Blue Coat Arts Centre during its first weekend of opening after £12 million had been spent on its redevelopment. And, you know, the success stories go on. So I think without a doubt, Capital of Culture will have had the effect of extending the regeneration of Liverpool and establishing Liverpool very much as a cultural centre, not just of the UK, but of the world.
Waking you up on Sunday, Rob McLaughlin, City Talk 105.9.